1-1.
And a pleasant good morning, good afternoon to each and every one of you out there in VOB land. This is the 311 Radio Show, and I am your host, Senior Fire and Life Safety Officer Natasha Ford. And joining me today, as I plan to do, introduce the members of my team. Now, we're getting the ball off and rolling today with none other than Auxiliary Fire Officer, or should I say a Fire and Life Safety Officer, Rico Lashley. Welcome, sir.
Welcome. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Fire Officer 401 Lashley, and I am happy to be here with you today.
All right, so saying that he's happy to be here, it means that he has a lot of information. He's going to be sharing, as we normally would do, converse with each other. I know we had promised that we would have continued with Divisional Officer Small, but somehow he is out of the island away on training. So hence, I've decided then to open it up a bit more, introduce you to the members of the Fire Prevention and Code Enforcement Unit. Now, Mr. Lashley, this is not an interview, but tell our listeners how long you've been, one, with the Barbados Fire Service, and two, if you can remember, how long you've been with it.
Right, so I joined the Barbados Fire Service in 2022. So this would be about 2 years that I have been in service. I've been with the Fire Prevention Unit from November last year. So far, it has been a good experience. A different learning curve. Obviously, with being on the station, you would have more of the action side of it. But here at the Fire Prevention Unit, it's more on the prevention side, stopping the fires before they happen.
All right, so in other words, you've gotten away from the smoky perfume.
Yes.
All right, and when you look at the two, can you see a marriage between the two in terms of, do you see the two going hand in hand? Do they complement each other, or do you think that they're on opposite sides?
They work together. Although being on the station, you get the action. We look forward to going out there and fighting the fires. It's not something that we want to do, but someone losing their house or losing property or anything like that, it's never a good thing. So here at the Fire Prevention Unit, you get the chance to go out there and reach out to the public, letting them know of ways that they can make fires at home and around the home.
Absolutely. Now, I don't know what just happened there. Just listening to you, your passion, it got me all tongue twisted and whatever else. But outside of that, I know one of the things that you would have been working on, and we can well recognize we're in the hurricane period.
Yes, we are.
Exactly. And we would have started the first of this month, and it goes on till the 30th
of September.
November?
No, yeah.
Right. So, I know there's a project you have been working on. Do you care to share at this time?
Sure. I've been working on a brochure. Hopefully, it should be finished soon, and it should be available to the public about hurricane preparedness. So, when you talk about hurricane preparedness, you can look for the things that you need to have or should have around the hurricane time. Now, you know, around hurricane time, the weather can knock out some resources like the power. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest the persons to have a backup supply, whether it be a generator or it can just be a battery pack that can power certain things in home. Main things would be like radio, because you still need to keep a breath of what is happening around the island, join a disaster or any bad weather that we should encounter. One of the other things would be having an emergency kit on hand. So when I say emergency kit, I'm not only speaking of a first aid kit,
enlighten us.
Having a supply of water that can last a few days, because you can go without water. As I said, flashlights, a first aid kit, because if you get hurt, you want to be able to do that first initial treatment until that further treatment is available.
And this is just in terms of minor injuries that we're talking about. We're not looking to do any surgeries.
Nothing major.
Not removing any spleens.
Correct.
No liver transplant.
Nothing I'll be sorry.
All right.
Nothing I'll be sorry. Just minor injuries like cuts and bruises.
Mm-hmm.
Also, one thing that you would want to do before the hurricane is secure your home. Whether it be hurricane shutters, or even if you don't have hurricane shutters, you can use some wood that you have laying at home to just secure the windows.
No, you say wood laying at home. I hope that the wood that you're using is on the termite on that.
No.
You tell me wood at home, I just might pull these two old boards off and say.
No, sometimes you may be doing renovations to your home. I might have some extra pieces of lumber at home. And you can use this to secure the windows. During a hurricane, you can have lots of flying objects and to secure the window so that nothing don't come through the window and then cause injury to you or your family.
Alright. Yeah, so once again, I mean, I know we speak a lot about hurricane shutters. Persons always think that they have to go high-tech, but I just alluded to sometimes even going, I don't remember exactly the name of the piece of wood where we visited one of the supply chains here the other day, hardware suppliers. Mm-hmm. There is a particular type of wood that they say when it comes to boarding up windows or even boarding up the doors, that it, and it's the same type of wood that you would use to make boxing. Correct. So it said it's more, it absorbs water better than the ordinary piece of plywood.
There's plywood and then there is marine plywood.
Mm-hmm.
That you can use as well.
See, so sometimes that's where you need a day in, because for me, wood is just wood. Plywood is just plywood. And you know, was the marine from was the. Alright, so tree, a quarter, and you just from the interest, because I hear people talking about it. So
you want something sturdy. So tree can work, but make sure it's something sturdy that can take a blow.
Good advice, good advice. Alright, so anything else that we can look in terms of?
Well, I know during the hurricane season, persons would tend to get, say, candles. Candles are a good thing, and they're also a bad thing.
Let me hear what we're going to say about candles, because every evening I go home, it's like a candle to distress from being around you.
So, you see, the thing about candles is that they produce light, which everyone would need during a power outage.
Mm-hmm.
But they can also be a hazard if left unattended. Candles have the tendency to topple over, and slightest thing they can topple over, and that can start.
Okay. And again, I can understand that, especially if you have small children in the home environment, somehow children are like, what? Is it fire? No, I am inquisitive. There is something, when you light a flame, there is this fly, something so that's always drawn to the flame. And children tend to behave pretty much the same way. As you said, they're inquisitive at the end of the day. So one of the things I always used to say, or I always would say to parents especially, is to take the mystery out of fire. So that when your child sees a flame or sees that fire, it is nothing new. For me, one of the things that I used to do with my daughter when she was much younger is that I would just light a flame, just light a candle or something like that. And it would dance my fingers through the flame. So, of course, she became inquisitive and she wanted
to try
and do the same thing. But my reasoning for doing that, she's doing it in front of me. She understands. When she went and she did it, she didn't know how to move her hand the same way. So, obviously, what happened?
She got burned.
And no, it's not bad parenting.
Good. She didn't know the next
thing about her hand. Exactly. So, it is about telling the child, don't do this, don't do that. You make these things seem so much more attractive.
Yes, would want to try it.
Exactly. So there's one of the things that you said the important thing is making sure that even if you're going to use a candle, is to ensure that you use it on a solid surface.
Correct.
Someplace that is not easy, that's not going to be easily tilt. Aside from that, there's also, are you aware that there are battery operated candles?
There are, but some of them don't produce the same amount of lighting that the regular candle would. And on top of that, they may cost a little bit more than the wax candle.
Okay.
So persons will tend to be more drawn towards the wax candle rather than the battery operated.
Well, in a case like that, you give people advice.
Yes.
And this is my piece of advice for you. For those of you who are interested in getting the battery operated candle, just make a moment a romantic moment. You don't need a bright light. I mean, you just sit down and enjoy. I don't know. You're not supposed to have your fridge overstocked at this point in time.
No.
So take a steak out, do a little steak dinner, and have a candlelight.
Candlelight dinner.
Exactly. And you're saving yourself what? You went to the restaurant, you paid probably about $300 for a meal between the two of you, and you do that at home. So that's my hint, and that's my reasoning for using the battery operated candle.
And you're staying safe as well.
Definitely. Definitely. All right, so I know we've been talking, and one of the things that persons before, I can't remember which hurricane it was, but there was a point we had a system pass Barbados where persons were without electricity for probably in excess of 3 days, 4 days, water probably the same length of period, and we knew persons they started to run to get the generators.
Yes.
So, let's talk a little bit about the generators.
Different generators that you can have. There's smaller ones that's operated by gasoline or diesel generators. There are also electrical generators. So there's a wide variety of generators that are out here. And not all of them are very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still some within the range that average person can obtain.
I always forget that they were expensive.
There are some cheap ones, though, that you can have. Well,
cheap. That cheap, not good. Wait, is that what we say it goes?
Yes.
Good taste, not cheap. Cheap taste, not good.
Yep. But some things, although that they're cheap, they still do a good job.
All right.
Yes.
All right. So I know that it's not your, you're not here trying to sell them, but I think the information that you've given is very relevant. But one of the things that we also need to correct persons are to make persons aware. The placement of generators is going to be extremely important.
Yes.
Because as I said, you're using either gasoline or diesel. And of course, you know that they tend to give off a fume, they tend to give off those gases, and you don't want that. You have it in a confined area where that build up is not able to disperse, where the wind can't get to it to disperse it, and then we create another problem within the environment.
So you want to keep the generators in a well-ventilated area. A little bit, I would say keep it a distance away from the home, because you don't want gases coming into the home, because during the hurricane, you're inside, you're backing down, and those gases entering the home can be very detrimental to you. So then you've gone from having the hazard of the fires or anything so happening, or the hazards of the hurricane, and then you've gone to health hazards. So now you put yourself into more problems.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to eliminate those problems during the hurricane.
Very much so. All right. This is the 311 Radio Show. I am Natasha Ford, Senior Fire and Life Safety Officer, and you're listening today with Fire and Life Safety Officer Rico Lashley, one of our more energetic members. Yes, I'm getting older, so somebody has to pick up the energy. The members of the unit. So for those of you who are now joining us, we have been talking about hurricane preparedness, how you can prepare yourself in the eventuality that there is a natural event happening or occurring, how you can better prepare, protect yourself, protect your loved ones, and whatever else. Now, just shifting slightly away from hurricane preparedness, I'm not sure how many of you, a bit of news, because that's the thing, we always want to make sure that we keep our listeners well informed and abreast of what is happening within the Barbados Fire Service and within Barbados as much as it affects us. So have gotten a look at those three new tenders, water tenders.
Yes, and they're lovely. Definitely look forward to working with them. I sure bet the public will be glad to know that we have three new vehicles that are ready to hit the road.
and they still have that new smell. You know, they open a new jar, the smell that hits you. Mm-hmm. Right. So recently, all last week, we have been doing training. The training isn't complete as it's yet. We're still going to be focusing this week again for the training on the officers, the drivers, the operators of these pumps, because with every piece of new machinery, it has persons have to go through training first to ensure that they understand the operations before it is put into service. So for those persons who said, but we got the three new trucks, we haven't seen them as yet, hence the reason you haven't seen them. And honestly speaking, you really want to see them.
Definitely. I look forward to working with them. They're new and improved. New and improved. So we definitely love hard to work with. Vehicles, as I said, they're new. They have a lot of new technology on them.
Mm-hmm.
And the officers now have to recount or fear the new technology and how it works so that we can provide a better service to the community.
Exactly. Glad to say that a better service to the community. So it's basically what they're agitating for, what they want. We're trying to provide that service.
We hear and we listen.
And we do.
Yes,
we That's do. The important part.
Yes,
we do. All right. But we know normally when we see a fire tender, water tender, fire truck, we normally we call it fire flyers. When we see them with lights on and responding, it normally means that something has gone wrong. And quite recently within the news, we've had a number of house fires, families being displaced, in some cases three, some cases five. And when we look at it realistically speaking, we know some of the issues, and there's one particular issue that we're going to focus on today.
There's one issue that I find a lot of persons overlook, and it's one of the main reasons that we have a lot of persons. As you know, the humidity outside is increasing, outside is very hot, and we tend to rely on the fan a lot, heavily. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that persons overlook is that although a fan is very nice to have and it helps you to cool down a lot, these fans can be very big hazard in actually left unattended. Now, you will find with a fan, it can stop spin. So you might have the fan on and you decide, you know what, I have to go to the shop to get something. And I run here to the shop and come back. But you left the fan on. And by the time you leave the home, fan stops spinning. But that doesn't mean that the motor of the fan
has stopped working.
And it overheats. And before you know it, the house gonna. And that although that gives us the opportunity to put our firefighting skills to work, it's never a good thing to see someone support happen.
An investment that they would have worked years for. In some cases, some persons are still paying for their room. And so tell us about your experience. I always say there's a reason why we become firefighters. Is it because of experiences?
Yes.
No, I know for me, I was a little firebug when I was younger. So it's either become an arsonist or I became my father saw in the future, a firefighter.
So for me, I had an experience with a fan. No, sometimes you would have a fan, you know, the fan stopped work because it probably got a little breakage. Yeah, hard.
Yes, okay.
So this one time I had a fan at home, had a breakage in the cord, and it was like, you know, an easy fix. I can just cut the cord and join it back. So I cut the cord and joined it back, and the fan was working perfect. Luckily for me, I was at home when this happened. I plugged in the fan and done watching some TV, and then I hear some sparks. When I look, same part where I joined the car is actually sparking. As I said, luckily for me, I was home. It could have been a case where I was not home, and this could have happened.
then it would be a different story.
Yep.
A different story. Just, funny enough, you are the third person who I've heard with this kind of story. I had a girlfriend who called me in a panic. She was just there laying in bed, fan on, and the fan started. She said, the fan burning. I mean, how many fan burning? I can see flames coming out of the fan. And you know, flames out of fan are not a natural thing.
Yes.
They're supposed to cool down, not heat up. So that was one case. There was another case. A top level officer in the Barbados service, I will not call the name, but also told of an experience with her, turned on the fan, and the fan started smoking. Next thing you know, there was, I think they said they saw some flames coming, so plugged up quickly. I was able to toss it outside, but that's for the trained individual.
If you're not trained and you see those things happening, first instinct is to run.
Panic.
So, and then post
the fight. What we call it? The fight or flight syndrome. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, realistically speaking, we think that these things can happen and they don't happen. Funny enough for me, I make it a habit to clean my fans. And I'm not just talking about cleaning the blades.
I unpick
the back.
And you would even find that when you unpick the back, you see a whole lot of stuff in the back.
Listen, you call it dust. Them are buddies. Them are dust wolves. So much dust accumulates in the back of that fan. And that is exactly where the mortar is located. Yeah. So imagine now, you have all that buildup of dust inside of there. The mortar is constantly going. It's generating heat.
Mm-hmm.
What is the fans normally made of? The ones that we keep at home?
Mostly plastic.
Exactly. So once that's... Thank you! And then we know somehow some teenagers keep their room. They seem to think that tidiness is not next to godliness. Don't know why, but you will find that they have everything thrown all up. So you find a piece of clothing here, a piece of clothing there. Now imagine that hot plastic dripping onto paper, dripping onto cloth, clothes, anything inside. Then what is going to happen?
That's fuel for the fire. Fuel for the fire.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
Which then leads us now, why is it important then? What's an important piece of equipment, safety equipment that we should have?
So there's two things that I think that everyone should have in there. A smoke detector and a fire extinguisher. Now, in the case of a fan, start smoking, you may be in a room and you may not be in that segment. But if you have a smoke detector in that room, fix it up and it gives you the chance to then use the extinguisher to extinguish that for you. And with that being said, we also offer extinguisher training at the Barbados Academy. So if you're interested, you can always contact us and we'd be happy to provide that training for you.
Seems like you were into marketing in a formula. But definitely, for sure, yes, we do offer that training, extinguisher training. And most persons only think in terms of business-wise. You would find that a lot of the training that we do are with business entities. And what persons fail to realize, because sometimes we'll find persons coming being annoyed about it. And one of the things that persons need to recognize and look at is, although your business, your work is sending you to do this training, they can't take it away from you.
Right. You can always take it back home to...
Exactly!
And educate them.
Education is a powerful thing. And let me say, I want to thank you today for educating those persons who are listening. So let me ask you a big question. Was it as terrible as you thought it would be?
No, it's not. I actually was dreading the show. But it's not that bad. It's not that bad.
Yes, it was like wringing arms, pulling teeth. I don't even know. And I would say you've done me proud. And I'm sure that the persons out there who are hearing you, you've educated them.
Yes, and that's what we aim to do.
Now, it is one thing to hear it from me, old person. Oh my God, yeah, I say old because I can feel the pain in my arm here now. But in terms of persons of your age bracket, your age range, do you think that they pay enough attention to fire safety?
Definitely not. I can tell you for a fact that persons around my age group, they pay no little attention to fire safety. As long as they are comfortable, having a good time, rest doesn't matter. Even people have parties, overload circuits, plug in a whole lot of things in one plug, and they're getting what they want, but they're not looking at the downside of it, that things can change in the blink of a moment, and they can find themselves in a tight situation where something is burning and they can't get out. That's something that we don't want part of. Don't want anyone to, you know, find themselves in a situation where they have to be rescued from a burning building. But these are things that can happen and will happen every TSC advice that we are trying to give. And I hope that this message today gets out to the younger generation, not only speaking to the older generation that will take in the information, but we want the young people to take initiative and try to be more mindful of certain things that they do at home and even at work to mitigate some of these fires that we have.
So we probably need to take this message over to Art.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so DJ Daddy Biggs, good friend of mine. I think I'll probably see if I can reach out to you and see if we can have you talk to Fire Life Safety Officer Lashley to see how we can best meet that other target section of the community.
Yes.
Because fire doesn't just affect the older persons, as you said, it affects each and every one of us, from the oldest to the youngest. We've had persons of old age perish within fires.
Yep.
We've had young children also perish within fires. So within the next 2 minutes, what would you advise persons to do? What are some of the things you would say to persons in your age range? What are some of the things, or how can we as a service reach out or target these individuals? How would they need to target the message?
Well, you know, the young people today, they like social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Those are the things that the young people are into. And I think this is the direction we need to go in order to reach the younger generation, put a lot of stuff out there on social media so that it's in their face, they can see it. And once they tend to see it, then they tend to listen and the information will be better received.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But what I would like is that the younger persons take this information more seriously, because we as young people, we live with older persons in the home. Some of them might not be able to grow as good as we can. And this information can save a life. You don't want that your grandparent or your great-grandparent perish because of a fire, which could have been avoided.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Because at the end of the day, the majority of these things, there are avoided.
Yes,
it's only because of our, I'm not going to make an apology for saying, our careless nature. The way that we interface with things at home, the way we see them, we don't see them as, like, you know, as you said, the fan.
Yeah.
Instead of cutting in and joining back together.
Throw it out and get a new fan.
Exactly. It's easier to get a new fan than it is to get a new home.
Correct.
So, I want to thank you for taking the opportunity. As I said, never mind I had to be looking, bring some hand, but it was good bringing. I just want you to recognize that you have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
You are the advocate for the younger persons out there.
Yes.
So you have a calling. And today I think I've exposed just a little bit of what is there. We've just touched the tip of the iceberg. But I will say to you, thank you so very much again, Rico Lashley, Fire and Life Safety Officer. And I wish you success in your endeavors as you continue to pushfire prevention over there, ensuring that our community is safe. This has been the 311 Radio Show. I am Senior Fire and Life Safety Officer Natasha Ford. With me has been Fire and Life Safety Officer Rico Lashley. And as we always say, fire prevention is our intention. Bye-bye.
On the Barbados Fire Service, 311.